Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website at kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, from bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. Regular listeners to Our Town know that this is a good way to get to know people you don't know or don't know very well. My guest today is someone who's well known to many in the community. After all, John Kleiss owned Aldrich's, Port Townsend's historic grocery store, for over a decade. He also served as the town's mayor back when mayors were so-called strong mayors. John has also been a key contributor to this radio station, KPTZ-FM. John just turned 90, and he's decided to step away from his radio responsibilities. That's sort of what triggered me to invite him on the show. After all, just like you, I sort of knew about this remarkable man, but I soon realized there was quite a lot I didn't know at all. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
It's fun to sit down with you as a guest on the shows. Listeners have heard you present the community calendar for all these years, but most of them, like me, they don't really know a thing about you. So we're going to fix that today.
Uh-oh.
Let's start at the very beginning. Are you a local boy born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula?
No, but not too far from there. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington.
Well, and your family, are they longtime Seattle?
Yes, I had great-grandfathers who came before the town was much more than a village, and have had relatives involved in business and education and all the rest of it. So our family has been there for quite a while.
So your family's fairly prominent and well-known, huh?
Well, hopefully in a good way, but of course, there are probably a few that might be questionable.
Strayed, I suppose. So did you go to school in Seattle?
I went to grade school in Seattle, okay. And all my schooling after that was out of state or in different locations, although I did go to a University of Washington for a few years.
So what about high school? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to a private school in California, Thatcher School, which was a small all-boys school and kind of a preliminary or primary location for going to Yale University. And my father had been a Yale University graduate.
So it was sort of a staging ground for Yale?
Yeah, starting grounds for
starting,
Yale.
Yeah, okay. And I understand you took a friend with you.
A friend?
Yeah.
You mean?
A four-legged friend?
Oh, no, I didn't take him with me.
Oh, oh.
He was there. The school was very, very unique, and it's still there, although it's now both boys and girls. But when you got to the school, every boy, and that time was all boys, mm-hmm. there were 100 boys in the whole school, freshman through senior. But each person had to have a horse. They had stables there. And most of the people, the kids, bought horses that were there. And so my horse, Powwow, was a horse that had been at Thatcher for some time.
Oh, so you didn't actually bring him with you?
No, I didn't bring him with me. And I think he was glad when I left.
Why?
After 4 years. Well, we had a lot of hard riding to do.
I see. Horsemanship was not maybe your forte?
No, I had ridden horses before, but I'd never owned one. And part of the whole process was we were individually responsible for the care of our horses and their exercise and grooming and you know, the feeding and all that. So it was part of the learning process and was a lot of fun.
You told me when we were talking before that when you were in high school, you were something of an athlete.
In a small high school of 100 total enrollees for four classes, it wasn't too hard to be quite an athlete. However, I particularly enjoyed athletics, and so that was my first exposure to really participating. And so I turned out for almost every sport you could think of. There was a track and basketball and baseball and the rifle team,
well,
and so forth.
Given that you're, what, 6'6", did you say?
I like to refer to it as 5'18".
Okay, yes. Well, so basketball, you know, you probably were one of the tallest kids in that class.
I was not only the tallest kid in the class, I was the tallest kid in the school. I was the tallest kid in the whole conference. So that made it very easy. I didn't have to jump very high.
Oh, no, that made it special. So were you raised in a family where it was sort of expected that you were going to go to university?
Absolutely. Both sides of the family. My father, of course, he was had graduated summa cum laude from Yale and expected any of his children to do that type of thing. My mother, her father was a professor at the University of Washington, Bedellford, and they have a building named after him. So on both sides of the family, yes, education and college, it's just an accepted and anticipated.
So did you indeed go to Yale?
I went to Yale my freshman year, yes, and I wasn't particularly happy with it. I knew nobody back there, but I thought, well, this is what I needed to do, and my father and I were not the greatest of friends. And unfortunately, I turned out for too many sports in the freshman year, and I ended up catching some disease. I can't even remember what it was.
Mono, I think.
Yeah. Mono.
Infamous in college circles.
And so that kind of put a damper on everything. So then I wanted to transfer, and I transferred for the University of Washington and came out there for my sophomore year.
And did you stay?
Only for sophomore year and start of junior year. The Korean War was underway at that time. And while my grades were high enough that I wasn't concerned about being drafted, I was kind of mucking around in college and not really knowing where I was going or what I wanted to do. And so a friend and I were kind of thinking, well, we're not going to be drafted, but maybe this would be a time to enlist for a couple of years and satisfy the military side and also maybe have some interesting experiences. So I went off pursuing a particular interest that I wasn't even aware of before. Then I actually enlisted in the Army Security Agency, which was a branch of the military. And in our assignments after basic training, we had to indicate where we wanted to go. Well, one of the areas that this particular branch handled was interpretation and intelligence of the opponents. And at that time, we were at the tail ends of the Korean War. So I ended up at the Army Language School in Monterey, California, studying Chinese.
That's a pretty famous school.
It's a very famous school. At that time, it was kind of considered the best language school in the country. And the teachers were all native, and they taught a number of different languages, Japanese, Chinese, Russian, so forth.
Did you pick Chinese, or was it assigned to you?
It was assigned to me. Okay. And language had never been a strong point of mine. But it was great duty. So I got into this whole thing, and it was a year-long, full-time, year-long program. And as we got towards the ninth or tenth month, so we had another like 3 months to go, the word came down that the Korean War looked like it was going to be over. The opportunities to do something with this language or get somewhere with it were not that good. In fact, when we first got there and was sent to Korea, I ended up driving a 5-ton truck for a little bit and then got reassigned to Formosa, Taiwan. And there we did take our language, a small group of us, and we spent our days listening on the international radios to Chinese pilots flying and telling about what they had for dinner and who their dates were coming up and so forth. And that lasted up until I was getting close to the end of my time. And at that time, the military had a provision that if you had a college commitment, they would give you an early discharge. You could get out like 3 months earlier than your service entailed. Well, and I fit that category, so I applied back to the University of Washington, where right. I had, through family, all this pull, and mm-hmm. had been there for a year, slightly over a year, and asked to be re-approved.
Right.
I got a little note from a secretary writing, say, sorry, Mr. Kleist, but you would miss too much of the quarter for us to approve a late entrance. So I was going to miss a week and a half. And that really kind of ticked me off. And so just out of the blue, I thought, well, why not apply somewhere else? And my wife at that time was from California. So I applied to Stanford as a transfer student.
Okay.
And was accepted.
Excellent.
And so that I always like to point out, I said, well, the University of Washington, where I had a lot of pull, is rating themselves as a better school than Stanford. And I, well, that's encouraging. Anyhow, I got a year's credit for my language that I had been pursuing as a military career. And then graduated, got my BA from Stanford.
Okay, you mentioned that your wife influenced that decision. Was she able to go overseas with you?
No. Unfortunately, while I was at language school, which is where I met her and where we got married, we had been led to understand that in the particular area that I was in, that if you got assigned over to Japan, your wife could join you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of moved our wedding time up. Well, what happened, of course, is that I got sent over and got to, before about a week or two before I was sent to go to Japan, and found out, nope, that was not the Army's policy at that time. So we got married, and I left after we'd been married for about 2 weeks. And unfortunately, all fortunately, in the long run, my first son was conceived at that time. And I didn't see him until he was about 6 months old. So it was kind of a mixed up time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you went to Stanford, and did you graduate from Stanford then?
Yes, okay. In 1 year. And I had my undergraduate degree then.
Okay. And what was your thought career-wise?
Career. What was I going to do? I was never quite sure.
Right.
And this was a
I'm still not sure.
Problem. And so, but I figured probably go into business.
Okay.
My family were business people and had been successful. And I had some touchings with it and so on, although I didn't have any particular knowledge on the business. So I went to work right after Stanford with Dun & Bradstreet, which is a organization that does research on businesses and assesses them and gives them ratings. And my thought was that, well, okay, while I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, I would probably have an opportunity to run across a number of businesses, particularly small businesses, and maybe find one that I could either buy or at least get involved with or could use as a stepping stone.
So you had the family resources to perhaps buy something.
Well, yes, it wasn't a huge amount, but there was some assets, and my father had kind of indicated that if I found something that he would tell. I knew that was a way that the family thought I should go,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really.
They
sure.
often have opinions on these things.
Yeah. But I shortly after I had been with Dun & Bradstreet for less than a year. And I was having a good time, and my family was growing. I began to think, nah, I'm not sure. But I had found a business that a man was looking for someone young to come in. And so I got in. But about pretty much at the end of a year there, it became apparent that this was not a business that was being run very well. And so once again, not really knowing where I was going or how I was going to get there, I decided, maybe I should do something else. And it occurred to me that with my language background, Chinese, and the interest in government, that the State Department might be something interesting.
Right, right.
Well, the State Department at that time, and I assume maybe even today, had a pretty rigorous testing process one had to go through if
right.
you were interested in becoming a member of that, or joining and being assigned to the State Department. So I thought, oh, okay. And they had an annual exam, and there was one scheduled to come up in about 6 months back in Washington, D.C. So I thought, okay, this is a good time, and it was a good time to break with the business I was with. So I decided to go back there and put in an application to be able to be tested. and loaded up my family, and we started across country, and only found out when we reached Georgetown that the test had been put off for a year.
Oops.
The State Department had more applicants that they had approved than they knew what to do with. Well, okay. So at that point, I made an application to go to Georgetown University to do graduate work to gain some background that would be helpful in taking this test, which was coming up.
Okay.
And so I got there, and I ended up completing another degree.
So you told me at some point around where you are in the story, you ran for politics. You had an early run at political office.
Well, that was actually after I got out of the military and I had gone to my business in San Francisco and then back to Georgetown. And when that whole thing began to fall apart, and it fell apart because I had too much fun with my test with the State Department and failed that. So I moved back to Seattle.
Okay.
And at that point, I ended up working in one of my father's businesses for some time before I started striking out on my own.
Okay.
And then the politics got involved. Politics was my father's primary interest, and he was extreme right-wing. And so naturally at that time, I had to be as well.
You were expected to be.
Oh, absolutely. Well, over the ensuing 40 or 50 years, there's been about 100% change in my particular position.
Yeah.
But at that time, I ended up being involved with some small businesses in Seattle and had been pretty much involved with a lot of the political things, the Republican Party at that time. And so I decided, well, I might as well run for office. That sounded like fun. And so our district was a real swing district. It was kind of Madison Park and the central area, which it was a lot of the minority area. So it was a real mixed bale. And so I had great fun and put together a program and ran for office and didn't get elected, but came close.
You worked there in Seattle with your one of your father's companies for about a decade, and at some point you decided to come to Port Townsend. How did that happen?
Okay, well, I'll fill in a little gap there.
Okay.
The main business thing I ended up with in the city of Seattle, I had a little real estate business, but I was located, my office was in the Pike Place Market.
Oh, okay.
And so this was at a time when the Pike Place Market was a center of activity for the city of Seattle. There were private developers who wanted to come in and put up multi-story apartments and redo the whole thing.
Hotels and, things like that.
There were a group of people who loved the market, even though it had been failing, even though it had almost been in existence for 100 years, but the Second World War and other things had crushed a lot of it. But they were became good friends. And and one of the men, Victor Steinbrook, who was a professor at the University of Washington, actually designed the Space Needle and had been a former neighbor. He was kind of piloting a movement called Save the Market.
Right.
And this ended up being a citywide election, and the market supporters had come up with a brilliant solution as to how to protect the market, which was to create a historic district, which then would control what could be done with the buildings and the property, which absolutely wiped out the
developers.
The big developers. It was a pretty hard-fought battle, but we won. And so a new public development authority was established, and I helped organize that and was hired originally as the property manager. And about 2 weeks after that, there were only three employees at that time.
Yeah.
And so we got going, and then I spent my time the next few years finding new people, new businesses, and managing the market.
So you actually were executive director
Yes.
of the market for number of years, right?
Well, I was with the market, the PDA, for 10 years. And the first year or two were I was property manager. And then the original director left. And I was elected as the...
So this was in the 80s?
Yes.
Okay.
It was close to the 80s. What started the market, the vote was in 1972, 3, somewhere in there. And the PDA was formed in, I think, 73. And I left in 83.
Obviously, I leapfrogged ahead because now we're back to where I was, which is how did you
Before
end
I
up?
Interrupted you.
No, you needed to interrupt me because I totally... Anyway, so why Port Townsend? How did that happen?
That's a good question. Port Townsend was a town I was aware of and had been to a few times, didn't really know. I knew a few people up here. My mother had a property on Whidbey Island, which faced Port Townsend, and I'd gone up there a lot and seen it. It seemed like an interesting, good town, and some close friends were here and had businesses here, and I thought, if I can find something to do there, I would really like it. I was ready to leave the market. That had been pretty intense and had been a lot of fun and a lot of work. But I was ready, and so I needed to find something to do.
At that point in time, were you divorced?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Divorces happen.
Yes. Exactly.
I had four children by that time, and mm-hmm. they were with their mother initially, but then over not too long a distance of time, they came living with me. But when I came up here, the kids were all pretty well grown and on their own. So, because mm-hmm. I was almost 50 years old, mm-hmm. and so they were out. So I didn't have kids to take care of, but I did have to find a way to make a living.
This is true. This is a perennial issue in Port Townsend. It's not any different now than it was then.
No, and it's tough. So at that time, I was looking, I'd had business experience, and of course, being the director of the market, was familiar with food-related things.
Right.
And so I started looking for a business up here, and I had friends who were looking around, and they pointed out to me that there was a grocery store, a small grocery store called Aldridge's, which it looked like it was going out of business. It had been there, in fact, was and still is the oldest continuously operating grocery store in the state of Washington. And the one gap was after I left in the store, Bert, they took them a year to rebuild it. But other than that, it's been a continuously operating business. So anyhow, there was this business, Aldridge's, and it looked like fun and interest. And I was single at the time. And so I started negotiating and moved up to Port Townsend and bought the business and then spent the next year or so getting it figured out what we could do with it. And basically, I took the whole thing apart, and we ended up redesigning and everything. So, and it just turned out to be a delightful business. I love Aldridge's.
So how long did you stay with Aldridge's?
We owned it. I met my current wife, Pam, shortly after I moved to Port Townsend. And we owned the business for 12 years, something like that. And then sold it and basically supposedly entered retirement.
Was that the strategy? I'm wondering, because you're saying that you how much you loved it. So it's so why did you leave it?
Well, I left it because I was over 60, mm-hmm. and it seemed like a reasonable thing to do. Okay. And I had other things I was pursuing that I enjoyed. They weren't businesses, but they were interesting.
Well, when does the local politics enter into things? Because you did become on the city council and become mayor.
Well, it became part of moving to Port Townsend. I got involved in the community quite early. Got the Chamber of Commerce and downtown businesses. And it's just because it's something I had always been interested in. And I had a lot of fun. So while I was in business and getting established in Port Townsend, I got to know Brent Shirley, who was then currently the mayor, and he got interested in what I was up to. And I can remember one of the first things he did to me when he found that we had I was a new business person in town. He said, "Look, we need to set up a organization that helps the downtown businesses in a small town develop and be protected. And so he got me down there, and we went door to door, and I didn't know half the people that was knocking the doors on. We were saying, well, we're going to need, how about $500 to help put together a new organization designed to help reestablish and small town downtowns. And so that was my getting to know Brent. And we got and got involved, and in a matter of a few years, he suggested I get run for city council, and that sounded interesting, and so I did, and I managed to win that. And then after a couple of years, Brent was ready to retire, and he, of course, was pushing me to do run for mayor.
We are seriously running out of time here, but before we end, I want to touch on two little things.
Okay.
One is your career as an actor.
After I did the political things and got out of business, I really kind of I never had another job or thing to earn income. I was sort of retired, but I did kind of three things. I volunteered as a small business executive to the SBA. I also became a mediator for Jefferson County Mediation, which was affiliated with the court system, and pursued what I really was interested in and scared to death of, which was acting. And the acting started out while I was running Aldridge's and the like. I worked with our local theater group and had some minor roles, scared the hell out of me on every case.
And once you were a monster.
Oh, well, I did everything from playing monsters to what was this guy? I can't remember now.
Okay. So quickly, yeah. You also were part of the group that launched Quimper Village.
Yes.
Which is a co-housing setup here in Port Townsend.
Yeah, I was involved, with a group of us got involved in trying to figure out if there were a way to build housing for elderly. A group got started putting together a co-housing project, and both Pam, my wife, and I played roles in this, and we ended up over a period of probably a total of about 10 years, of which about six were getting initially understanding what kind of a project we could do and getting a group of people to do it. And we done it and built this. We have 28 units and 40-some members. It's a senior community. You have to be in your 50s, and most of us are in our 60s, 70s, 80s, and now one in our 90s.
Right. Okay, one last little mini micro thing is just to mention that you have been a volunteer here at KPTZ for years, probably almost as long as the station itself has been in existence. And we are very sorry that you're taking this opportunity to retire.
This has been such a fun, a glorious group to work with, and the station has been a lot of fun.
Okay, so we have to close. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been John Kleiss, one of our most prominent citizens. He's owned Aldridge's, he's been mayor, he's been on the stage with the Key City Players, and in his busy, busy life, he's made time to be part of the KPTZ family. The show's called Our Town. I'm Marianne McNellis. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Marianne McNellis and edited by Taylor Clark.